Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson, and joining me this week is Will Love. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I got a little wet on the way in. As I was just telling you, I timed my bike ride just wrong. I woke up and it wasn't raining. I got on my bike and it started to rain. And then just as I got here, it stopped raining again. So I caught all the rain on my way in, and now it's dry again.
So some breaking news there. It rained.
It did. Yes. I guess it's been raining a little bit these last few weeks.
Yes, we
got some rain, and there is more actually in the forecast. I might go ahead and read the forecast.
We're starting to get into that thunderstorm kind of situation.
I was talking to a friend from the radio station yesterday that it feels a little bit like it feels like those end of summer storms.
More than
just the midsummer kind of thing. The high today is only 73 degrees, and there is a 90% chance of precipitation, showers and patchy fog, and showers likely. There is a 20% chance of thunderstorms, and we will get more rain if there is a thunderstorm, understandably. And then it looks like clearing up, high tomorrow, 85 degrees, and clearing, and then fog in the morning, and then sunny, and then on Sunday, 84, and sunny. So actually, it looks like a pretty nice weekend, heating up to 88 on Monday, and sunny again. A couple nice days coming up.
Yeah, I know for us peasants out there that don't have air conditioning, it's been nice to kind of have the cool down.
Hasn't that been wonderful?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. In fact, I got super cold the other night.
Yeah. Did you have to close the window?
Yeah. No, I couldn't do that. But comfort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Comforter?
Yep.
Something?
Yeah. Yep. Add a blanket.
Right? Add a blanket. Yep. We will probably, I believe, hearing no reason not to believe that we'll be doing a little bit of a sports update later. We'll do it one way or another, I suppose, but it'll be great if Max Oswald walks through the door, the sports reporter of the Daily Bee. We anticipate him joining us, I think, momentarily.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Yeah, but right now I'll run down some headlines from our local newspapers. And state-level news, the Idaho State Supreme Court has dismissed the Attorney General's challenge to the Open Primaries Initiative on procedural grounds. So there was not actually even a hearing. They didn't go to oral argument. The Supreme Court dismissed it as a matter of procedure. It seems like the Attorney General still has an option if he wants to file a complaint in district court, which they indicated would have been the correct venue. But absentee ballots start going out, I think, on September 17th. So time is running short. And the Secretary of State McGrane responded to this news, saying that he, unless a court orders him not to, he will be going forward with the ballot measure on ballots, which will again start going out on September 17th. So that's the latest on the Open Primaries Initiative news. In Boundary County, up here in North Idaho, a dead deer was found in early July and tested positive for chronic wasting disease. This is the first case of chronic wasting disease found in North Idaho. It's not the first case found in the state of Idaho, but it's the first found anywhere in our area. The Idaho Department of Fish and Game has approved a CWD surveillance hunt in a portion of Unit 1. I think that's coming up at the end of August, and you can get tags for that. Also, you are encouraged, if anyone sees this is more relevant to Boundary County, but applies all over. If you see a deer acting strangely, you are requested to report that to the Department of Fish and Game. Here in the city of Sandpoint, The council last week approved the preliminary engineering evaluation contract with Keller and Associates. That is for the wastewater treatment plant, to the tune of about $432,000 for that initial evaluation. The city council unanimously approved that that contract, and things are moving forward towards repairs really kind of a full overhaul of the wastewater treatment plant. Additionally, Mayor Grimm has proposed a 1% local option tax. We spoke about this with Zach Hagedon, I think a couple weeks ago, what that would entail. But it will, if passed, that will be directed towards street repairs. And I think the council has to approve it, and then it will go onto ballots for voters to approve or reject in November.
When, yeah, Jack, I've got a friend that lives in the city, and on his street, it's particularly bad. And I tell him, you know, I've never been in a war zone, and hopefully I'm not, but his street is what I imagine a war zone to be like.
Yeah, it's right. You know, most of our listeners probably are in cars, if they're listening live anyway, and so we don't have to tell you about the street conditions in the city of Sandpoint. You probably are aware.
But between those two projects, I mean, that's a lot of money that the city's looking at over the next few years.
It is. And Grimm's side of it, on the at least on the local option tax, the mayor is the chief proponent of this, it seems. In his analysis, he doesn't see a way forward for bringing streets really up to standard without a local option tax. He sees this as kind of the only option, or at least that's how he's pitching it. No matter what, I'm sure it's going to take money. So this does seem like that money has to come from somewhere. The council will vote on the fiscal year 2025 budget on that will be what, next Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday the 21st of August. And so that will be, they will determine what things are going to be spent on. Of course, the wastewater treatment is a big, just that analysis is going to be a big part of the budget. And then other things go towards some street repair, other big ticket items go towards street repair, and kind of some changes around, I think, the intersection of Ontario and Highway 2, and improvements out on Great Northern Road are some of the other major expenditures in the proposed budget. And then the Carousel of Smiles has been in the news lately. This, I think it's more than 100 years old. Originally, the carousel found in, I think, in a couple of trailers in Kansas, like some 8 or 10 years ago, and moved up here to Sandpoint with plans, I think, to put it somewhere at or near City Beach. Those plans have fallen through, and the carousel has kind of been in limbo for a while. You see the ponies come out really at like the 4th of July. They'll bring them out and move in the parade, but no movement on actually like installing and getting the carousel up and running for since 2016. So it's been 8 years, and they are the owners of that carousel, which I believe is a nonprofit organization. I'll have to check on that, but they have acquired at least the lease rights to the old co-op building, or as I know it, the old Bazaar,
right,
which is over on Church Street next to Marketplace Antiques, and kind of in between Fifth and and Boyer there, Fifth and Boyer there.
Yeah, the place where the fire was at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or by there.
Yeah. Not in the wreckage of that. But it will be in the existing building. That is currently home to Bazaar, which is a big, tall, kind of cavernous building. I can imagine you could fit a carousel in there.
Right. Now you've got a youngster.
I do.
How do they feel about carousels? Are they of age yet to?
Has never been on. I'm not sure. Okay. Good question. I think it would be. I don't remember totally loving the carousel. I think the let a kind of tinkly music and bright flashing lights and stuff. I think it's a little overwhelming, but that's just me. So well,
the one at Riverfront Park, it had the rings that you had to try to catch.
So cool.
So you always wanted to be on the outside.
Yes.
And then you were looking for the gold ring.
Ooh.
And because the gold ring would give you a free ride.
All right.
Free ride. And I remember I was coming around. I got an outside horse, mm-hmm. and the rings were coming up, and then I saw the gold ring, you know,
yes.
and probably to nerd out just a little bit, you know, kind of like Gollum. Crush it, you know. I was all excited,
yeah,
and I got so excited that I just, you know, because you could just slip your finger through it and then it would pop out.
But uh-huh.
I tried to grab it with multiple fingers,
kind of pinch it,
it, mm-hmm. and then all I could hear was the ting 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 of it hitting the concrete, and just yeah.
It was
a devastating experience, Jack.
I suppose.
I'm glad I was able to get that off my chest. On the air.
Is there is still a carousel down there? Is that right?
You know what? Maybe I have to be honest. I haven't been to Riverfront Park or the new edition of it in years. I'm guessing that it's there.
Okay.
Yep.
No, I haven't been on a carousel since I was a little boy, I don't think. And I haven't seen one lately, but I am excited for that to arrive. I think that would be cool. And yes, I will have a youngster just about the right age. If they open it on their current schedule, is like they think they might have it open next fall. Maybe that's ambitious, but there you go.
It's good to have goals.
Yep. They're looking forward to some fundraiser events. I think one coming up in November, and they're trying to raise, they anticipate about $2 million. For that project to be complete. They estimate they're about 85% of the necessary restoration right now. Let's see here. What am I looking at? I think that's my news headlines for right now. That's what I got. Did I miss anything big?
Well, is Mr. the Love? Chief traffic correspondent.
Yes.
And with that new KRFY copter traffic copter, whatever.
Yes.
There's, you know, there is some news that I feel it's my duty to to share. And so, you know, one of the big things is that they are going to be doing some resurfacing work on the Long Bridge.
Okay.
Is apparently going to be starting August 19th, so Monday, and run through mid-September. So they're going to be out there for a while. And according to an announcement from the Idaho Department of Transportation, work will take place Monday through Friday from 7:30 p.m. to 6 a.m. until the expected completion date next month. During those times, traffic will be limited to a single alternating lane with flaggers and pilot cars to guide drivers through the work zone. The surface of the bridge was ground down earlier this spring to increase traction and make it safer for travel. So anyway, just put those in your plans, because there's nothing like coming home late and then all of a sudden realizing you have to wait for a while to get across the Long Bridge.
Yeah. Right. When that's single lane, that can be a long wait, even when there's not that much traffic, because you got to wait for all the cars to come from the other direction before
you go. And probably in those earlier hours, it'll be quite a while.
Versus,
you know, if you're a night owl. A couple of other, I think, closures that might be of interest to people in the area include some in the Idaho Panhandle National Forest. And so up in the Bonner's Ferry area, they're going to have some repairs to roads, including Snow Creek Road, which I know is a pretty popular road, Cook's Pass Road, Caribou Pass Road, and North Caribou Creek Road during August and September until repair activities are completed. They're also doing some on the Callahan Creek Boulder Road, and that's a road that'll get you to Boulder Meadows, and I know that's kind of a popular spot. And then locally, they're going to be doing some repairs to the Lightning Creek Road, including a bridge work on around Morris Creek, which is about 6.12 miles up Lightning Creek. And then when I went fishing up Lightning Creek, we hit This would have been in July.
Okay.
There is, you could tell that there was a big washout. And so anyway, they're going to be repairing a five-mile section of Lightning Creek Road up near where you access Porcupine Lake. And so, yeah, it's going to be some pretty extensive repairs.
5 miles, that's a big chunk of road.
Yeah. But have you ever been up Lightning Creek Road?
A little bit, but not, I don't think that far.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful drive, and you can make a big loop and get down through Trestle Creek or come from Trestle Creek and stuff. But just so people know, if they're thinking on the weekends that they might want to do that, be prepared. There's going to be some construction going on.
Indeed. Yeah. Do we, we can talk about sports in the absence of Max if we have to.
Yeah.
We can, let's see, we could start with the end of the Olympics. Did you watch, we talked about the Olympics a little bit last week. Any other Olympics news from the last week of festivities?
You know,
the closing ceremonies were Sunday?
Yeah, ceremonies were Sunday. Didn't watch that. It was quite the adjustment at home because, you know, for 2 weeks I would just wake up and then turn on the Olympics and they'd be on there in the background. So,
yes,
you know, and when there would be a riveting table tennis matchup, you know, you would definitely, you know,
yes,
tune in on that. But, you know, so it's been a little bit of an adjustment. But, you know, I know that there was some Idaho or some athletes with some Idaho ties that did well, including I know that there is a soccer player. I can't remember her name, but she went to school in the Boise area for a year or two in high school, and she was on the gold medal winning team. And then a biker that works again. Sorry, I don't have that in front of me, but her name. But I know that she trains with Kristen Armstrong, who's, you know, probably one of Idaho's, you know, most successful Olympic athletes ever, and trains bicycling with her. And she was pretty successful in her run there. So there were some Idaho ties and some medals coming back to the Gem State.
Very good. Was there any other, what was the most, I don't know, the most impressive feat that you saw in the Olympic Games? Anything come to mind?
I mean, you know, people that know me know that I've got a bias towards one particular sport, and that would be basketball. So I guess watching Steph Curry in the final minutes of the gold medal game against France, you know, the entire, well, most of the arena was, you know, obviously pro-French, but Steph Curry had a 4 3-pointers, and each one was more spectacular than the the last, and so that was a pretty neat event to watch. And then on the other end, the women's game, gold medal game, also against the French, was very, very exciting. It came down to a last second shot, which the French made, but they were down 3, and it ended up being a 2-pointer that they made in the last second. So they had a chance to send it to overtime, but the shot was not
too
the
short.
Value that they need. So we had, you know, that, and then I don't know, you know, watching some of the judo, was pretty spectacular. There was a team event. I didn't realize that there was team judo competitions. But anyway, watching the French and the Japanese contest for the gold medal, that was you know, it had both Debbie, my wife, and I pretty enthralled. So.
Do you, in this day and age, it is now 2024, do you watch it on TV? Do you turn, or do you have, did you get the, it was on Peacock,
yeah,
right?
The Peacock app. No, okay. I'm still, I guess, kind of, well, we'll call it middle school, right? Not necessarily old school. I'm not listening to it on the radio or over the air, but, you know, we do have a satellite service that we were able to watch it. And then, you know, kind of, I do you know, want to compliment the coverage of it because, through our satellite service, we had two extra channels just devoted to Olympic sports. So a lot of the kind of lesser known sports were cool. on those. And so you could watch those throughout. And it ran 24 hours a day. So, you know, if you woke up at 2 in the morning, you could watch some Olympics. And then, you know, and watching things like breaking, not break dancing, but breaking, I think that's how they want to be referred to was pretty interesting too. I'm guessing back in the day, you probably had a piece of cardboard and were out on the streets of Minnesota busking with your breakdancing
skills.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. No, I have never even tried any of those moves that qualify as breakdancing.
Yeah.
Or breaking, I guess. Yeah. No, I didn't. Excuse me. I did not do that. But that was cool to see that they had added that the French, every country gets to pick a few sports that they want to add. And that's one of the ones that the French chose. And that was cool.
Like learning how they I guess judge it or score it was kind of interesting too, that it's kind of a voting type, you know, so to you know, a lot like Mad Max, two people enter, one person leaves. So.
Yes. Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the next question is what's coming up locally in sport?
Yeah.
What do you know about the upcoming
schedule? Max is definitely the expert. So I will, you know, hopefully we can get him in maybe next week. But, we've got a lot of high school sports taking place now. So this was the first week that high school athletes or high school teams could start practice. So I know that Monday was a big day for a lot of teenagers in Bonner and Boundary County as they went to tryouts and stuff. So with that comes the first events, which will actually be starting to take place, I think, next week. And so we've got, at least at Sandpoint High School, we've got swim, we've got golf. In fact, golf, I think they might be starting, they might even have something this week because they have changed the golf season from the spring to the fall. And so they start because they want to try to get done by the end of September.
Right, before the snow flies.
Yeah, before the snow flies. And then, you know, obviously, too, we've got soccer, which is huge, huge in the Sandpoint community.
Yep.
And we've got the defending 4A state champs in the girls soccer team, and then the boys also made their way, and I think we're state runners up. So so a lot of expectations there. Cross country, which is always successful, and are sending teams to state, and then finally football, which War Memorial Field, Barlow Stadium will be packed here on Friday nights starting soon.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I live over by Traverse Park and they have started the fields are full as of this week. They're in the evening. There's lots of activity going on.
Right.
All those.
And then I think I might've forgot volleyball. And of course, you know, Sandpoint has a long tradition of being successful at volleyball. They've been down a little bit, but I'm thinking that they're going to have a pretty successful year this year. And so, anyway, we've got those. And then obviously, you know, Clark Fork, a little smaller scale in regard to the sports that they offer in the fall. And then the same with Priest River Lamana High School.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the big news, and so this might be confusing to some people because trying to explain it is kind of tough, but the Idaho High School Activities Association, which oversees high school athletics and activities in the state of Idaho. They're the sponsors of the state championships that teams are competing for. They have made probably one of the biggest overhauls to the classification system since the late 90s or early 2000s, in that they have changed the names of the classifications. So Sandpoint for a long time was 4A. Priest River Lamana High School was 3A for a while and 2A. And then Clark Fork was 1A division. Oh, Casey McDonald's going to be mad at me. Division 2. But now they've just gone to a system where it's 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A. So Sandpoint will now be competing as a 5A high school. And, you know, so that's going to be a little bit confusing. So when you look at the classifications, your schools like Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls, and Lake City will be at the 6A level. And then the big change, though, is that Lewiston, for a long time, had been in the class same classification as Coeur d'Alene schools and Post Falls, but they've changed the enrollment numbers, and so Lewiston actually falls into the 5A category. So now the league that Sandpoint High School competes in is going to include Sandpoint, Lakeland, Moscow, and Lewiston. Now, here's where it gets a little bit confusing, Jack, so stay with me.
Oh, now it gets confusing.
It gets confusing. Okay. Is that you can also, a new schools now have the ability to opt down in classifications.
Ah.
So if, and there's, and you know, there's some standards.
This is KRFY 88.5 Pondere.
330.
There's some standards which, you know, qualifications, if you will, to be able to ask the state to petition down. But, and one of those is that you've got a program that's not very successful. It's got a winning percentage that is lower than some cutoff.
Yeah.
And then you can petition the state to drop down a classification. And so Post Falls Soccer has chosen to do that. They've not been very successful for several years now. And so they're actually going to be in the 5A's with Sandpoint. So when you look at that league, it's actually going to have, instead of four teams, it's going to have five teams. Now, Moscow, meanwhile, in football, has petitioned down, and that was granted. And so they will no longer be in the same classification as Sandpoint and Lakeland's and Lewiston. So they'll be competing against Bonner's Ferry and Timberlake. So it's a little bit confusing, and you got to be on, if you're following a sport, you need to kind of go and see, okay, what schools are where, and because, you know, there is a, it is a little bit different.
Moscow, of course, a bigger population center than Sandpoint, but they're going to actually be playing at a lower.
You know, I to be fair, not many of those college kids have teenagers.
That's true. It's a small
So when you look at
the actual class size,
Moscow's traditionally been one of the smaller, if not the smallest, 4A schools, or schools in our classification. So they're just barely above that cut.
And
you know, football wise, they've been playing with teams with like 18 kids, 20 kids. And when you look at, say, like Lakeland and Sandpoint, that are usually on their varsity rolling out 40, 45 kids, it can be,
When it comes to, like, in what we call the individual sports, is that, do they still break it down into classifications like that?
Yeah, they still break it down into classifications. And then, you know, I guess probably the biggest thing too is that those classifications, based on the district you're in, determine how many berths you get to state. And so, you know, and I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on those individual sports. I'm not exactly sure how they work, because I know swimming, you can meet times and stuff like that and qualify for state.
But that's,
you know, so they do use those qualifications, or I'm sorry, those classifications for the individual sports. And that kind of ties into how many bids, or how many athletes from our district, which is a combined district between District 1 and District 2, District 2, including Lewiston and Moscow, that area, then, that's how they determine how many teams get to or participants get to state.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we are. It's 8:30. That was a half hour. That's a week in news.
Good
to see you again, Will.
Yes.
We will hopefully do a more full kind of sports preview of the particular teams and events that we look forward to in the fall. But this was certainly a good primer.
I know, you know, maybe one of the reasons why Max couldn't make it today is because he had to finish up his sports preview, his fall sports preview.
Ah,
so I know that he was super busy this week. And so anyway, be looking for that in the Bonner County Daily Bee coming soon. And,
yes.
You know, so that'll have a good breakdown of all the teams in Bonner County. And then hopefully we can have Max on to kind of put that kind of into perspective or give that information to people that aren't necessarily subscribers to the Bonner County Daily Bee.
That's right. I suppose he wouldn't want to give us a scoop over his own paper.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will continue now with Otto's Eclectic Mix and our regularly scheduled programming all day long. You know, there I will mention that there's a chance, let's see, we might be talking to, at some point later today, I will probably be talking to comedian, magician Andy Gross.
Oh, wow. Well,
I think we'll probably air that about 4 o'clock this afternoon if I can get him on the phone.
And he's at the Panada, right?
He's at the Panada this weekend. I am just curious to see what, you know, well, for one thing, how's he going to do any magic over the air?
Right. He'll
just have to describe to us, you know,
maybe
look
more,
a rabbit.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he does more of the comedy for.
I guess.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but he'll be at the Panada tomorrow night. Hopefully we'll be talking to him at about 4 o'clock this afternoon. If you're interested in going to our fundraiser, which is also a major entertainment event, the evening with Viggo Mortensen, a introduction and then a Q&A after the film The Dead Don't Hurt. It's Saturday, September 14th, doors at 6:30, movie at 7:30, tickets available at panada.org, and I would get them today if I were you, because I don't know that there's going to be any available left tomorrow. It is almost...
Oh, wow.
It is getting that close. That's
good to know, because I know that
word
there's
to the wise.
A quad of loves that want to go to that.
Yeah. I think there's double digits of tickets left, but... Ooh,
I will talk to you after the show.
Not triples. Okay. Anyway, there you go. That's the news. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the rest of our programming here on Panhandle Community Radio.